Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm your host, Ayush Gupta, and I'm joined today by Patrick Moore.
Hey.
And Michael Ivanos.
What's up?
So after a one-week break, we're going to get into some news out of Carolina. The Panthers traded for Jets quarterback Sam Darnold, and they gave up a sixth-round pick this year and a 2022 second-round pick and fourth-round pick. What are you guys' thoughts on that trade?
I like it. I mean, Darnold isn't great, but the Jets weren't great either. I watched a couple Jets games, and he was better than the team around him. They were just so terrible that he couldn't be great. I mean, he has deceptive athleticism as a runner. And I think in Carolina, having McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and then, I mean, maybe Kyle Pitts is really going to help. So, I mean, it's a good trade for them. And then for the Jets, I mean, you're going to take Zach Wilson. So there's no point in keeping Darnold around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a believer in the fact that they were going to stick with Darnold for a year. I really thought that was going to happen, but Ben was right. We had one episode where we talked about this. Caroline, I was surprised with. I didn't think that they were going to go with Sam Darnold. I thought maybe they would just stick with Teddy. But I guess they liked what they saw in Sam Darnold still, which is fine. I think I kind of agree with Patrick generally. I think he's just kind of like, he's like average at best, I would say. Not good, but he's not bad either.
I think he's definitely got upside. And like Patrick was saying, if you got Kyle Pitts, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, not Curtis Samuel anymore, but a lot of good guys DJ Moore.
Yeah.
I think he'll have a much better chance of succeeding. Obviously, he was a top pick for a reason. So, I mean, they saw something in him. Do you think it's an indictment at all on the quarterbacks in this class? I mean, we obviously know that Trevor Lawrence is going one, Zach Wilson probably going two. But after that, the Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, do you think it's something that the Panthers looked and said, I don't think it's really worth it for us to trade up to try to get one of those guys?
Well, maybe not all of those quarterbacks, because I don't think Jones fits the Panthers, but maybe on Fields and almost certainly on Lance, because there have been things that have come out recently, or in Lance's case have been out for a while, I guess, that make them not look as desirable, whether it's accuracy or, I mean, I guess in Lance's case, just running too much or not having the kind of competition that the other guys have, you know, like, I mean, this move makes sense for the Panthers because you would be taking a pretty huge risk at eight, especially when this class of pass catchers is going to have a Heisman winner maybe fall out of the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The only thing I don't understand is, though, from a Jets perspective, they just drafted Sam Darnold, 3 years ago, 2018 draft, third overall, and they put no one around him. Now they're going to do the same thing with Zach Wilson. I mean, what do they expect to change?
Yeah, I mean, that was my biggest reason why I thought they were going to stick for another year. They really didn't give anything to work with in Sam Darnold's case, but I guess they really didn't see anything in them.
Yeah.
They gave him Denzel Mims, second-round pick last year. I mean, and they've got the 23rd pick this year.
They could have gone out and drafted like a real talent.
I feel like if they had traded...
Not three, but...
The Dolphins got three first-round picks for their third overall pick. Had the Jets traded out of two, maybe out of the top 10, maybe within the top 10, and gotten a couple extra first round picks, gotten a position player, another guy in the first round, at their later pick, like you said, and then in the future drafting more guys, I think that would have had laid a better foundation for them than just drafting Zach Wilson, moving on from Sam Darnold.
I mean, well, talking about like their pass catchers, I guess, who could have been around Darnold. Comparing this year's receiver and tight end class to the past couple of years, it's not nearly as strong. Like, there is much less of a case for the guys who went in the first round last year, aside from Justin Jefferson, to maybe go in this year's first round.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe they just didn't have as much of a chance to draft the good guys, or maybe they didn't have as much insight to draft guys like DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin in the second and third rounds.
Yeah.
And then Adam Gase. I mean.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But I mean, like, based on, I think Zach Wilson will probably be a good quarterback. It's just, it's concerning seeing as how the last talented young quarterback with upside turned out in New York. But things are looking
good. I think it also says a pretty, I don't think it says as much as the class this year, but it could say something about the QB class for next year. Because, I mean, they probably could have waited another year sticking out with Teddy Bridgewater if they wanted to, but they decided to pull the trigger now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, granted, it's a little bit of a stretch, but
Wilson is a special talent.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree.
His comparisons have been anywhere between Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes.
But, I mean, even Trey Lance was compared to, I mean, but the thing is, like, Jordan Love was compared to them. Trey Lance has been compared to them. I don't think the comparisons really mean that much, because any guy with upside, like these guys have, they'll be compared to those guys.
I mean, the difference is that Lance played one game this year, and Jordan Love was not a first-round talent. Zach Wilson is a top-10 talent.
But what I don't understand is, what's the biggest knock on Fields, then?
I mean, he did have times where his accuracy wasn't great. Playing against better competition, especially in the Big Ten, he did have some lapses in judgment, which I think teams will really look at now, especially now that Super Bowl windows are so short and they don't have time to develop a quarterback. I mean, having a game with two picks doesn't seem incredibly important, but in a shortened season, especially when they're not going to get more looks at him aside from the pro day. I mean,
I don't, but the thing is, like,
but I mean, people in the beginning of the season were saying, like, he's downright number two. Like,
yeah, and some people were even saying maybe number one, but I mean, I don't necessarily agree with them. But like, also, Zach Wilson didn't play, like, he didn't have any competition either. He was at BYU. Justin Fields is playing against teams like Alabama, who had an insane team this year in the national championship game. Meanwhile, who is Zach Wilson playing?
They played a couple of good teams. I can't.
Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, they did play Coastal Carolina.
The powerhouse of Coastal Carolina.
They were ranked 18th. And BYU was not a bad team, but, I mean, they're, the talent that's around Wilson there, I mean, it's nowhere near comparable to what Fields has. I mean, he's going to have two running backs going in this draft. I mean, the only other team I can really think of that's having two running backs going is North Carolina. I mean, granted, Wilson did have, he did have some of the best receivers. I mean, they're not going to go probably before the fifth round, but regardless, I mean, the talent wasn't nearly as good, so he had to make do with that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you can always say that about any Ohio State, Alabama quarterback, and it usually ends up being true. It just feels, just seems so talented. And kind of in a different way from Lance and Jones. I mean, Wilson obviously looks really talented too, but there is something there as well. So before we move on to talk about our newest mock draft from Patrick, I want to talk quickly about Julian Edelman's retirement, which was just announced today. We're recording on Monday. The Patriots agreed to terminate his contract. It kind of did him a little bit of a solid, because by terminating it, they gave him an extra $2 million. And some sort of injury compensation thing. But he announces on Twitter and Instagram in a video that he is done. The wheels have fallen off and he will retire a Patriot. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of,
it's better that it happened this way.
I mean, he kind of said it, the wheels have fallen off. Like, I think he was kind of, you could kind of tell that he was nearing the end of it last year. I don't really think I think he kind of knew he didn't really have much to contribute more to the Patriots team, and he had an amazing career, but I think it's better to go out like this rather than, you know, end on a high note rather than, you know, he didn't play amazing last season, didn't get to play much, but I still think he ended it better off than if he would have played this year.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true.
Because he could have suffered a terrible injury and had to stop playing, or he could just play all 16 games and have like 10 catches, through the entire season and would have been.
I mean, sad. And honestly, yeah. I don't think he was factoring much into the Patriots' plans. They got Nelson Agholor, they have Jacoby Myers, they brought in Kendrick Bourne. They have decent wide receivers, and Julian Edelman really wasn't better than any of them last year. Just emotionally, this is definitely going to hurt for Patriots fans and for the Patriots organization. I mean, like, in the video itself, it started with the camera circling him, and it was all of these different commentary calls of Super Bowl 49, Super Bowl 51, which I'm wearing right now, Super Bowl 53, all of these iconic moments that Julian Edelman was a part of as a member of the Patriots. And I mean, Bill Belichick came out with a quote like, he's the ultimate competitor, and that's definitely true. I think they're going to miss that in the locker room.
And I think the other thing was, like, I think it was also kind of his time to leave in a way. Like, I feel like this Patriots team is a little past his, like, era almost. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a win-win for both the organization to move on and for Edelman to move on, because I just don't think he would have kind of, like, fit in with the team and where they were heading towards, like, a younger and...
Well,
just, like,
on the field. On the field, I agree. Yeah. But in the locker room, I think they do miss out on a leader. Them bringing back guys like Kyle Van Noy, Dante Hightower will be back, Ted Karras, David Andrews, mm-hmm. James White, all of those guys being back in New England was kind of to reinforce that culture, because those are guys that have won Super Bowls here. But and Julian Edelman may have been the biggest of all of them, which is why I'm thinking, like, as a locker room presence, it's definitely a blow. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's kind of undisputed that he's going to be a Patriot Hall of Famer, but in terms of the NFL Hall of Fame, do you guys think he deserves a spot there?
No. I mean, it's just like, he had 6,000 career receiving yards and 41 touchdowns. I think if it was any other player, it would just kind of be an easy no. Mm-hmm. And they can't factor in, they can't exactly, like, 100% factor in the impact he had on the team.
I mean, I think they totally can.
And if they used his postseason stats, they would be using, like, they would be factoring those postseason stats in too much.
No, but the thing is, and I saw this on Twitter a lot right after the retirement, if you're letting someone like Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame, I feel like you have to let Julian Edelman in as well.
Didn't Eli Manning have, like, over 50,000 passing yards?
I mean, that's kind of more of a longevity thing. I'll look it up. But, I mean, Julian Edelman, 3-time Super Bowl champion and Super Bowl MVP, not to mention one of the most clutch players, especially in Patriots history. He was great. I mean, I do agree he's on the bubble.
I just want to make it clear that I hate the Giants, but Eli Manning, 2 Super Bowls, crazy stats, crazy numbers, and he didn't play much longer than
Edelman. He had 57,000 yards. He played from 2004 to 2019, but I mean, he had a bunch of interceptions. He led the league in interceptions 3 times in his career, and most of his years weren't really that great, if I'm going to be honest. Like, he had some 4,000 yard passing years, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think he was as great of a player as people make him out to be, and I don't think he's necessarily deserving of the Hall of Fame without the Super Bowls.
He was pretty clutch in the Super Bowls.
And that's what I'm saying.
That pains me.
He was incredibly clutch in the Super Bowls. It pains me more. I think it pains you. Pains me the most. Yeah. But, I mean, he had years with 20 interceptions, 25, 27 interceptions. He had at least 10 most of the years he was in the league. Didn't have that many touchdowns.
28 interceptions his rookie year.
His rookie year. But I'm talking about in 2013, Eli Manning had 27 interceptions and 18 touchdowns.
Well, I mean, still.
He had some pretty bad years.
Same than Julian Edelman.
I mean,
I'm not saying Edelman shouldn't make it, but it's up for debate.
Well, you did say you should.
I don't know. I'm borderline on it.
I am borderline on it, too.
It's my Patriots bias, but, like, I don't know. I feel like part of what makes you... Not a huge portion of how you get into the Hall of Fame, but, like, you have to have, like, a good story as well. And Edelman has a pretty good story. Just the fact that he started off as a QB and ended up as a wide receiver, and he won so many Super Bowls, and I think... as much as it doesn't, it shouldn't define whether you make it to the Super Bowl, he has like a crazy mentality, and Aisha was saying this before, that's like part of what makes him so good. I don't know, but maybe his stats,
yeah,
his stats wouldn't be up to par,
but I mean, I like, you see maybe the plays he makes in the Super, like Super Bowl 49, he scores the go ahead touchdown. Super Bowl 51, yeah, he has that iconic catch, and Super Bowl 53 is the MVP, right?
Yeah, it's just like the only thing is he was playing with the best of all time,
of
like
course,
throwing with him.
But I mean, if you look on the sidelines, like those mic'd up videos from Super Bowl 51, especially, it's gonna be a hell, yeah, of a story. He kept repeating that, oh, yeah, even down 28-3, he was one of the biggest leaders on that team, and I think one of the biggest reasons why they had the mentality to stay in that game and not get psyched out.
If someone made a documentary on him, it would be number one on Netflix for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame, you might be right. I just think, yeah, that with the playoffs taken into consideration, that was my point about Eli Manning. If you take, I just don't think Eli Manning's a Hall of Fame quarterback without the playoffs, without the Super Bowl runs. And I think that taking into consideration Julian Edelman in the playoffs, he might be one of the greatest playoff wide receivers of all time. And I think taking that into consideration means he should be worthy of the Hall of Fame. If he doesn't make it, I'd understand. I mean, he's not the greatest like regular season wide receiver, but in terms of what he's done in the playoffs, I think it shouldn't be ignored. But, I mean, you're right. He did play with Tom Brady. So, yeah, now I want to move on to Patrick's mock draft. Patrick's going to go through each pick and who he thinks is going to be selected there as of right now, and then we'll all discuss what we think of the pick.
All right, so I've got Trevor Lawrence going first. I mean, no-brainer.
I don't know.
And then Zach Wilson second.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was the conversation we were having earlier, right? Like, I think he's been penciled in at number two now, but I just don't really understand why he's that much ahead of Justin Fields.
I mean, it's just probably something scouts see that we don't, but I understand it. And he was just dominant.
The thing that I'm wondering is, like, how big is the drop-off now from Lawrence to oh, no, I'm blanking.
To Wilson?
Wilson, yeah.
Chris Sims thinks that Zach Wilson's better. I mean, why is Trevor Lawrence truly so hyped, though? Mm-hmm. But
and the Andrew Luck comparison, but I think Lawrence is a better runner.
I mean, Andrew Luck is a great
Lawrence
comparison.
Is a better one?
Andrew Luck was a great quarterback, though. So, I mean, that would be a great comparison for any quarterback.
Yeah.
But
no, but I think Wilson could be better.
I mean, I feel like Fields could be better. No? Then Lawrence, then Wilson. Yeah, that's true. No. Fields is such an elite rusher. I don't think he's more of a dual threat.
More of a dual threat than Lawrence.
Yeah,
is.
Okay. But, I mean, considering that Fields is likely going to go three, San Francisco is a much better situation than New York. Okay, what's your next pick? Is it Mac Jones?
No way.
Oh, no.
Wow, okay.
See, I don't know. I just... Wow.
How?
But
5.14 yard dash?
Jesus, that's terrible.
Yeah. Okay, and I know the numbers are probably boosted this year, but regardless, Mac Jones is the most accurate quarterback in this draft. He doesn't have crazy arm talent, but he's just so accurate. And I think that's really going to help with the 49ers. I mean, Garoppolo doesn't exactly run a ton, so I mean, it will basically be a younger, more accurate Garoppolo with more room to improve athletically. I mean, we've all seen that picture of Jones after the national championship. I mean, he does not look like a national championship winning quarterback.
I mean, it makes sense, like, sort of, because
why over Fields? I don't really
I don't know. I mean, you're sort of saying this based on Shanahan and the GM, I'm forgetting his name, going to the pro day, right, of Mac Jones instead of Fields.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm pretty sure they went to Fields as well, and they were pretty impressed there too.
I think they're seeing Fields again. I could be wrong about the team.
I'm just so unsure of what's a smokescreen and what's not. I feel like you have to go with who's the better quarterback at that spot.
Maybe they're just scared about having a quarterback who will run. You know, because I mean, there are quarterbacks who have gotten hurt in the past, and maybe they just don't want to end up with a top three pick who gets hurt after 2 years and can't play.
Well, I mean,
and can't play the same.
I feel like this is the pick where you like you're either taking the risk or you're going safe with Mac Jones, because I feel like Justin Fields is a bigger risk, but if you hit, you're gonna hit big.
But do you? But RG3 was not a low ceiling, like, talent.
Will get hurt more than pocket passers.
But the irony was RG3 didn't get hurt while running. He got hurt in the pocket, right? That's when he tore his ACL. Well,
still, yeah. But I mean, there's still a bigger chance that a running quarterback will take a huge blindside hit. I mean, and here's the thing. I think Jones will do better with the 49ers because, I mean, look at their offensive line. They just brought back maybe the best left tackle in football in Trent Williams. And the rest of their line is pretty stable. Even though they lost Joe Staley, I mean, they can still improve.
But what I just don't get is...
they're really good.
Why would a team trade 3 first-round picks for Mac Jones? You could get
Matthew Stafford. Completes them.
The LA Rams got Matthew Stafford for 2 first round picks, and they took and they gave up Jared Goff, who at this point, that was more of a salary dump than it was getting rid of an asset. And I mean, the Panthers just got Sam Darnold for a 2nd, a 4th, and a 6th. I feel like those guys are probably better than Mac Jones. I mean, Stafford definitely is. Stafford definitely is.
Well, no, Stafford definitely is, but I could see them wanting Mac Jones just because, I mean, he's a pocket passer. You know what you're going to
get. But if he's so low ceiling, why not just get a veteran quarterback for much cheaper who can do the same things and be consistent?
Maybe they think their Super Bowl windows open longer. I mean, they have a young defense.
But if it's open longer, Nick Bosa. If it's open longer, then why wouldn't you go with a high ceiling type of guy with Justin Fields or Trey Lance?
Multiple other teams.
But what I'm saying is, well, first of all, the 49ers have committed to keep Jimmy Garoppolo for this upcoming year, and that leads me to believe it's going to be Justin Fields or Trey Lance, because if it was Mac Jones, what's the point of drafting Mac Jones and not starting him on day one?
I do not believe they're keeping Garoppolo. I just can't. Not after this offseason.
No.
Is there any chance that they're trading up and not taking a quarterback, though?
No, there's no way. 3 first-round picks for a non-quarterback? There's no way.
That would be
the most boneheaded move, like, ever. that would make this trade, like, it was already bad, even if it was for a quarterback, and if it's not, oh my god. the players they could, like, who would you think they would take at 3?
There isn't a single player
three.
Before
no.
Like, Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, you're kind of right. I don't think any, I was going to say, yeah, because Pitts is good, but he's not football. Three good. He's not three good.
He's not three first-round picks good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Pitts is one good.
Yeah, he's one good, but you don't
but
give
you
up.
Have that one, maybe, but.
You don't give up three first-round picks to get him.
Listen, whoever gets Pitts is, or maybe we'll get into it. In
yeah,
like
I just don't
picks,
believe
but.
The 49ers keeping Jimmy Garoppolo and trading all of that are gonna just stick with Mac Jones. Especially if you say, like you say, they have a young core. Like, why wouldn't you just wait it out and get the guy who could develop into a much better quarterback? No, but that's what I'm saying. The only reason it would make sense for them to take Mac Jones if they think that this year is the year. But, I mean, they pretty much already said that Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy. They're asking for a first-round pick in exchange for Jimmy Garoppolo. No team is obviously going to pay that. So they're pretty much committed to sticking with Jimmy G, which leads me to believe that they're going to take Justin Fields. But yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, actually, no, wait.
Maybe best of weapons, but not best offense.
That's just crazy.
That's pretty ridiculous.
No, but I mean, the Chiefs' offense is still obviously better.
And the thing is,
no,
I truly believe
the thing
that.
Is,
it's
not.
It totally is.
Because they lost their two starting offensive tackles. So.
And they got Joe Tooney.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if you're losing pieces of your offensive line, I think we're going to see Patrick Mahomes not have as great of a season.
I mean, I hope you're right, but I don't think so. I don't know if it's going to cause that much of a drop-off, especially because one wasn't even really that much. I'm pretty sure, like, there were reasons for them to drop them. It wasn't just like, oh, we want to create cap space.
Okay, fifth, Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon, going to the Bengals. I mean, this had to be another no-brainer. I mean, Joe Burrow has no protection. I mean, he tore his ACL last year, so.
He ran a sub-5, right?
Yeah. Wait, did he? I think he ran like a. Did he run like a 5.09, which was absolutely insane.
That's
I mean, the 40 doesn't really matter, but still. For O-lineman.
For the Dolphins, Ja'Marr Chase. I think that's really going to help Tua if they choose to stick with Tua. And, I mean, you're just basically adding another great receiver. He's the best receiver in the class. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lions, Devontae Smith.
Yeah, that makes sense. They need wide receiver.
The thing with Devontae, I've seen him, like, all across the board. Like, I've seen him near the Patriots, and I've seen him where you just selected him. Like, I don't really know what to make of him. Because, like, I don't know. People are iffy on his, like, his body weight and his, like, stature. But I don't know. I think he was almost too good to pass up with the stats that he had last year and the fact they won the Heisman. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take someone next year.
Mm-hmm.
And next, Panthers, Micah Parsons. I mean, you're essentially replacing Luke Kuechly, who retired 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
So, yeah, I mean, Pitts isn't on the board. Sewell isn't on the board. I mean, there isn't really anyone else they should take.
And Parsons is one of those guys, too, who I've seen in this range, kind of the 7-8, and then all the way to, like, 15 to 17 past the Patriots. He's kind of been variable based on what other teams select, but I think he's definitely going to be really good.
You know, he's the most talented linebacker in this draft, but I think the reason he's falling is due to some –
off the field issues.
But I think it's also like other teams drafting other needs, and then he just like happens to fall because the teams that need linebackers draft other players, and then other teams just don't need linebackers.
Coming in, they've got one of the best secondaries in football. And then that offense, if Cortland Sutton comes back healthy and Noah Fant can stay healthy.
I just, like, if Justin Fields falls, like, past 7-8, I wouldn't be surprised if a team like the Patriots or maybe the Washington football team or the Bears tried to trade up within that area and try to take Justin Fields before he drops to 9.
I think the Patriots are the most likely team to trade up for Fields. I don't see Washington doing it. It's already come out that they're probably not trading into the top 10. I think if they trade into the top 10, they're doing it for Pitts. And then I think the Bears are just too far back.
And I mean, the Patriots have, I'm not sure how many draft picks they have, but they have a bunch. And they always sign a bunch of undrafted free agents, which leads me and a bunch of Patriots reporters were saying this as well, to believe that the Patriots will trade up, because if they don't, they're going to have a lot of roster spaces taken up and they won't be able to sign that many undrafted free agents, which is a huge part of Bill Belichick's team building. So I would not be surprised at all.
I want to believe that, but it's just like, I don't know. It's so like I could just never see Bill Belichick like trading up.
But he was this. So if he was that aggressive this offseason in free agency, like you have to believe. But I mean, it's always possible if they don't like the quarterback who falls, that they trade up like from their third round pick, they move up, or they move up in the second round or something like that.
I mean, you also, the thing that's still on the board is trading up not for Justin Fields, but for Trey Lance.
Yeah. I don't know. Patrick,
honestly,
what are your thoughts on
Lance? I'm fine with that. He
trading up for Trey Lance?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Trey Lance?
Like the Patriots trading up for Trey Lance?
Yeah, or even just like he could be around a 15. Or like,
he actually, in my mock, he is the Patriots pick at 15.
Hey. I mean, look, are we going to, should we get into that, or should we?
Well, yeah, let's get there. Once we get there, let's.
All right, so 10th, I mean, this is, I don't know how much you guys follow the NFC East. But the Cowboys taking Patrick Surtain, the corner from Alabama, is pretty much done. I think Jerry Jones just heard about him in the beginning of the season, and I mean, he's just on that train. In his mind, he thinks that Surtain is the best corner in this draft, which he isn't. But I think he's going there. And then the Giants at 11 taking tackle Rashawn Slater. He's the second best tackle in the class. It was pretty close to the beginning of the year, but as of recently, Slater's kind of separated himself from the other guys, like Darisaw. And the Giants need another tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not replacing Andrew Thomas, but on the other side of that line. If they think Daniel Jones is the guy, they need an offensive line because they clearly do not have it.
Yeah.
And then another one that's pretty certain is the Eagles taking Jalen Waddle. I mean, right now they probably have the worst receiving core in the league. I mean, even worse than the Patriots.
I could see him going ahead of Devonta Smith, in my opinion. But
I think injury concerns might be greater for Waddle.
Mm.
He shouldn't have played at all, not even in the national championship. And just sat it out and recovered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've actually got Darisaw going to the Chargers. More just a tackle for Justin Herbert is necessary for him to succeed even more.
For sure.
And then I've got the Vikings selecting edge rusher Quiddy Pay.
Ooh.
Hey.
From Michigan.
There we go.
Rhode Island heritage.
I've had this pick. I mean, I've had this pick for a while, So, and I didn't switch it up even when other people were saying, like, they're going to take a tackle. I still don't see it. I think their defense needs more help. And, I mean, I could actually see them taking a corner now that Jeff Gladney, it won't be playing for them anymore because of legal issues. But no, I think Quiddy Pay's their guy.
Yeah.
And then Patriots, Trey Lance. I think he...
So what do you think of him as a prospect?
I think that he has an extremely high ceiling, but he played the worst competition out of any quarterback in this draft. And he only played one game this year. I mean, there are great things about his game. Like, he has a very strong arm. He had a great season 2 years ago. But there are also
things like... Is he accurate?
He wasn't he was 15 for 30 in the one game this year. But other than that, yeah. I mean, I don't think he threw a pick 2 years ago. All season.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he has more room to grow than probably any other quarterback in this class. Just because there's so much unknown about him. And I think Bill Belichick could really be the right coach for that. And especially developing under Cam, he can learn how to run in the NFL because it's clearly different. And especially with lower competition. Because you're getting a guy who's a high Division I starter playing against FCS teams. And I think Belichick just make him absolutely go crazy.
But I mean, like what's the biggest difference between him and someone like Kellen Mond? Like, why is Mond supposed to go so much later than him?
I personally didn't like Mond. I can't exactly say why. I just think Lance is better than Mond, but Fields is miles better than both of them.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
And so is Wilson. Jones, I mean, I think Jones just fits the 49ers better. And Lawrence, I mean, not even close.
Yeah.
So, next. I have the Cardinals taking corner J.C. Horn. I believe he's the best corner in this draft. He's the most physical corner. He is probably the most athletic corner. And they really need help. They lost Patrick Peterson. And I think their secondary could be really good because Buda Baker is really good. And so Horn is probably going to end up the same way. And they've got a good offense. And their defense can improve a slight bit with the addition of J.J. Watt. They could maybe be a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that pick.
So now I've got the Raiders selecting Elijah Vera Tucker, a tackle, and I have them taking him because, I mean, they lose five starters on their line, or was it four? I think it was four because they
something crazy
Colton Miller. But no.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand letting go four guys out of five, but I think this is taking. So this pick isn't a certainty, but taking a tackle is, or a lineman in general, is a certainty.
Yeah, definitely.
So I've got the Dolphins selecting Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, the linebacker from Notre Dame. Now, the thing about him, so he is the most athletic linebacker in this draft, but he's going to be one of the smallest, if not the smallest, linebackers in the league when he comes in. Now, he could transition to safety, but I don't know if he'll be up for that. There's something about players transitioning between positions that they don't seem to like to do, especially linebacker and safety, because I know that Landon Collins won't go from safety to linebacker, and it's kind of infuriating. But, no, I think he could end up being a very versatile piece for the Dolphins, and... I mean, they do need maybe a bit of help at linebacker on defense, but that's a really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And now...
Definitely.
I've got Washington taking safety Trayvon Moehrig. And I think this pick just kind of... So this pick doesn't complete their defense. They need coverage linebackers. But this makes them pretty close to being a complete defense. I mean, their secondary is loaded. I mean, and Cam Curl, seventh round, 216th pick of last year's draft. I mean, he was in the conversation for Defensive Rookie of the Year. And now you're adding another safety who is probably going to be just as good, along with Kendall Fuller, William Jackson, and Jimmy Moreland. This is just a good pick. I mean, they could reach for a tackle, but I don't think they'll do that because they could just stick with Cornelius Lucas and see what happens, or maybe sign a free agent or take someone in a later round, like Samuel Cosmi, who I actually don't have following as the first, but you never know. So, no, I think Morig is a good pick for them.
Yeah. All right, and then let's finish it off at number 20 with the Chicago Bears.
I have the Chicago Bears taking Caleb Farley, the corner from Virginia Tech. So the reason he fell, he was originally top 10, like consensus top 10.
Yeah.
He's having a back issue, which, I mean, I don't think it's as bad as some people do, but, I mean, that Bears defense lost Kyle Fuller. So taking Farley, who is one of the most physical corners this year and one of the most physically gifted, I mean, you're basically just filling the hole that Fuller left by going to the Broncos with one of the best corners at a great value because he didn't have to trade up for him. I mean, he could end up being better than Surtain. He could end up being better than J.C. Horn. I could definitely see it. But the thing is, yeah, the Bears' offense is terrible. So,
I mean, yeah, they definitely need help. But the thing is, at number 20, you've got who? Terrace Marshall, Rashad Bateman, and some of the nice running backs. Rondale
Moore. I mean, but Terrace Marshall will Rondale be there Moore. In the second or third round.
That's true, but they're not. But the Bears won't be there to pick him.
Maybe.
Meaning, like their pick is later in the second round, at least. But I mean, yeah,
I could. I think
quarterback also makes sense. Yeah, I could as well. It's the Chicago Bears, but anyway, we'll continue with our draft coverage within the upcoming weeks. The draft, I believe, is at the end of April. Is it April 29th?
April 29th, April 30th, and April 1st, and May 1st.
Yes. So in 2 weeks, I believe we'll do our draft special, get our preview in right the week before the draft. For now, though, that's all we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at The Official Hurry Up, where we post daily content about the NFL. You should also check out our website, thehurryup.com. where we post more in-depth content about the NFL as well. Also, go follow us on Twitter at @_thehurryup, where we plan to give short pieces of insight and relevant news items on a regular basis, and on TikTok at @thehurryup as well. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NFL segments every Wednesday, bonus content on the weekend, and our NBA segment next Monday. Thanks again, and see you guys next week.